Welcome to House Seats Presents, your live look at entertainment. I'm your host, Bryce Krausman.
Yay.
Welcome to Monday. We have Paul Johnson here today joining us from Rock of Ages. Woo, woo. Oh, yeah, there's the... Yeah.
Everybody.
Everybody, this is going to be our hand gesture for the show.
That's, yes.
That's better than some of our other hands.
Better than other gestures, yes.
We've had a few other ones. And we're also joined by Andrew Wright today from House Seats. Woo. Everybody, woo! Andrew was in attendance yesterday for Ribbon of Life, for Golden Rainbow's Ribbon of Life, their 30th anniversary. And also, we're a little somber mood today. I think the whole world is dealing with the tragedy in Orlando. And our hearts, we have our candles lit here for everyone. We also brought a painting from our house that was done by... our former partner at House Seats, Sue Ellen Myers, her son Max Mogstad, he drew that for us.
Oh, wow.
So I said, everyone's heart bleeds the same. So today we're with everyone in Orlando and everyone all over the country dealing with this tragedy. And, you know, interesting enough, when I was watching the Tonys a little bit last night, that was most of the message, and we'll talk about Golden Rainbow's message too, was that, you know, we go to theater, and what we have to remember in the show that we do here every Monday is that, you know, we support theater in Las Vegas because theater is an escape for all of us, and also to be able to spread messages of love.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, they were talking about that in a lot of the acceptance speeches last night, and the few people that we got to see, you know, talk about the issue and to be able to, you know, continue to spread love instead of hate, and to continue to spread that this could have happened to anywhere, anyone, and it happened, you know, to a lot of our family.
And that's a theme. That's a huge theme in the theater community too, because it is a job where we all support and love each other, and we're all from, like they said, from different backgrounds and ethnicities and sexual orientations, and it's the one place that almost anybody can go and still be accepted for who they are.
Exactly. And, you know, the challenge among us, especially those in the LGBTQ community, you know, my partner Jason and I, we went last night to the center, the Gay and Lesbian Center down on Maryland. And, you know, there were about 300 to 400 people there for the vigil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There were a lot of people. That's awesome. My brother-in-law, Justin Jones, he spoke. They spoke a lot about gun reform. They spoke a lot about just embracing the community, because it was everyone. And everyone in that room, there was all walks of life in the room for the vigil last night. But what struck me the most about the vigil last night was all the members of Metro there. And one in particular, our friend Sasha Larkin, she's a lieutenant over with Metro, who has gone around with a lot of Metro to assure clubs and nightclubs, you know, that they're there and they have your back, and that you can go and still enjoy yourself, and you can still be able to go and not live in fear that they have your back wherever you go.
That's
and
awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, for, you know, a lot of it's people do need to be high on alert, you know, what goes on around you. Definitely be very aware of your surroundings and what's going on in where you're spending your time. Just be very cognizant of those around you. Mm-hmm. We want to talk a little bit about Golden Rainbow, because we know when we do the weekend roundup, this was evidently the weekend for Golden Rainbow.
That was their
30th anniversary of Ribbon of Life. You know, I remember going to this probably, I think I went to my first one about 15 years ago. Back then when it was, I think it was at the Las Vegas Hilton Theater, or moved around a few times. This was at the Tropicana.
Yeah. Originally what they would do is it started at the Jubilee Theater, because they really started it all. And then it got a trend of each year it would have a different house, almost like the baseball all-star game where it moves stadium to stadium. Yeah. last year went so well at the Trop that they immediately re-signed and brought them back. And it was very gracious of them, because they were able to raise so much more money by having it done in kind, rather than thousands and thousands of dollars like some of the venues would charge. So you can't really do much of a benefit when you're spending all that on the thing. So they had a great showing, great support for us, because we were in there all week teching and doing that. And the crew at the Trop was awesome.
Andy was missing a few times at the office because he was there. We're doing rehearsals. And you're taking a more active role in next year's show in the 31 House Seats.
That's the hope.
That's the hope and plan.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's,
that is the plan.
Yep.
31.
Yeah, 31 is going to be new and exciting.
Yeah.
For sure.
So some of the highlights of the show, I mean, we see, you know, Evita, that was paying homage to when they pulled that off in 1991 at the...
What they did with this was really, really cool with this number, is Chris Coley's been there forever.
One of the directors.
He's one of the five of us who directed the show, and he was really sort of the had, because he's been doing it for so long, and he's been there since it started, yeah. and one of the main cogs to making this successful for so many years.
Yeah.
And they took five or six different years of his where he had great big Broadway numbers, because when they first started this, there wasn't Broadway in Vegas. So right. they would do all these huge epic Broadway numbers. And some of the throwback pictures are amazing, because they had just, it was 90s fabulous and 80s fabulous, and it was the place to go. Right. And you see some of these sets and designs, and you're like, oh my God, we got to get back to that. But Evita was one of his big splash numbers. Yeah. Miss Saigon, Funny Girl, Kiss the Spider Woman, Man of La Mancha, some of the ones that he had done over the years that really left an imprint.
Yeah.
And he brought alumni stars back to sing. So there were two guys and two girls. And then Jamie, one of the other five directors that's a choreographer, she did our choreography for Amy Winehouse.
Okay.
She had 20 to 30 dancers. And it just, the dancing was insanely good in that number. Yeah. It really carried it. Because some of the stuff, it doesn't translate to now, because not that the material's not good, but the audiences aren't familiar anymore.
Yeah.
Back then they knew every word. Now they're like, what's Kiss of the Spider Woman?
Yeah.
So the things that she did were fantastic to keep it moving, so that if you knew it, you could really appreciate what the singers were doing and the music. And if you didn't, it was still very entertaining. So she did a great job.
Did they have any, in years past, I remember, they had a few headliners come in and do little things. They had George Wallace at one point. I see there was a picture in there with Ava and the Jabberwockies.
That's really cool. That's my daughter Ava.
His daughter Ava.
And I was saying to Bryce, what's really great with the Jabberwockies is once they get into their persona, they don't come out of it. So you're in the hallway, they have like a handler that walks them around and communicates. Uh-huh. So you can talk to them, but they don't talk back.
Sort of like the Blue Man Group.
They'll communicate non-verbally, but they are
some of the best kind of communication.
And it's they're. What they've created put it in the writer for Slippery When Wet.
My next contract, I'm like, I gotta have a handler.
They've transcended entertainment, because they were in a number where they took one from a chorus line and I've Got a Golden Ticket.
Wow. Okay.
And it was Jabberwockies, Super Crew, and some other local hip hop dancers.
Yeah.
Jesse Santos put it together, and it was an awesome number. And it was very high level, good stuff. But when they came out, it surpassed dance and entertainment, because it's just such an aura of what they do in their style and their look. And you watch it, you're like, that is something very special. And when you're in a showcase of all the best people in Las Vegas, and you have of the 5-6 minute dance number, they had a minute or two of it, and they stood out so much, where you were just captivated beyond what was going on the rest of that show. So hats off to
they're really cool guys.
They've helped with some of our other numbers,
right?
But as entertainers, man, that is top notch, next level.
And I still have yet to see their show. Like, I really want to see their show.
Oh, I know. They moved houses. Now they're at the MGM Grand.
Yeah, so I really
and they have
to see
a really nice intimate theater right there. They're doing really great over there, I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a very good house.
These are some captivated backstage. Captivated,
It's a Brandon Nix sandwich
going on. Of
course,
Brandon Nix, always in the
not even in the show, by the way. I'll point that out.
Stephanie Sanchez, he's not even in the show.
There's always a Brandon sandwich going on somewhere.
Love it. Some backstage shenanigans going on. I love it. And then
that's Francesca
in the prior picture as well.
That big finale photo, this is from the wings.
That's from the stage. Yeah, I was going to say, that's not the audience.
No, this is the wings. This is all of you on stage. How many people are on that stage?
I think you have one more finale picture in there of the vastness of the stage and everybody in there. And anyway, it is... I love by the end of the show anyway at Golden Rainbow Vieira
is
bringing out the entire cast of all the talent that comes out and then is part of the show.
And there is so much love in the room.
And I'm sure last night there was.
Yeah, here's the crew from the opening number they did on Broadway. Jenny was one of the five directors. And she did set the opening number and it was a lot of fun. They showed a lot of the pictures from the old programs and the old shows and everything like that.
Nice.
It was nice. This was for the past 5 years I've directed numbers.
Yeah.
And to sit in the seat of overlooking the whole show was completely different. And it was really cool watching the coordination between the way numbers share entertainers and the how gracious the entertainers are to jump in so many. You're so in your own little world creating a number. Yeah. That you watch, you're like, wow, they were busy. and until you're looking at the whole scope of it, you're like, man, that dancer had 3-4 full April, who was on a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she's in 3 or 4 numbers. Brooke was in a bunch of numbers where you're like, man, that's a lot of time because it's not just one rehearsal schedule.
No.
And they're not.
Yeah.
They at make the same time, so they're spending a lot of time to make this happen and be special.
You know, we will have Gary Costa on, the director of Golden Rainbow here in Las Vegas. And Golden Rainbow has been around for over 30 years, helping those living with HIV and AIDS here in Southern Nevada. And, you know, they started with that dream of Ribbon of Life. And to do that program, it's a lot different than a lot of charities hosting galas every year. I mean, this is something people look forward to. They look forward to seeing the talent is normally in Cirque or normally in some smaller shows coming up there and doing a number totally different than what they're normally used to seeing. Because I remember going to the show one year, and I think it was 2 Cirque du Soleil performers singing, and they were dancing, and they did a number to, what is her name? It was a Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but it was Ava Cassidy.
Oh, cool.
And that beautiful singer who has passed away since, but they did a beautiful dance number. From that, that'll always stick in my mind. Yeah. And they were so proud to do that number for the show because it is basically Las Vegas's variety act.
And as a performer doing Golden Rainbow, we're all in our separate shows. We all do our own things and rehearsals and everything. But then you get together for something like this, you forget how hard working everyone is in this town and how we can perform together. Right. And then how someone else's talent you haven't seen for a while and how they've gotten so much better at something else. And then you all get to come together and it creates an amazing just melting pot of talent. And it's so helpful. Everybody is so willing to help each other with that, which is really neat.
It's a cool experience. From the audience, no one does this. No, Chicago, New York, LA, they don't have that, lack of a better way, the WrestleMania of entertainment for the year, where it's literally
Clint. That would be interesting.
Clint's always in it this
next
year.
Next theme is WrestleMania.
That's what we're doing for 31.
31 is WrestleMania.
There we go. You
could
heard
be
it here
the
first.
Ultimate Warrior, Bryce.
I know, right? Not with my hernia. But just kidding. Damn IKEA. Go ahead. Oh, we have a little live chat there. Cheryl Rudiger is
Oh, hey Cheryl.
Hey Cheryl.
Hey Cheryl.
Hey.
Cheryl B. Cheryl Boudiger. Cheryl B. She's thanking everyone for all their hard work at Golden Rainbow and for putting on Ribbon of Life. You know what? That is one of the highlights for a lot of people looking forward to the show. I mean, like as we talked about, I mean, years past, it's been 2 days. It's a Saturday and a Sunday because not that many people can get off on a Sunday. So you have 2 different shows almost on Saturday and Sunday for what goes on.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
Audience-wise, it's fantastic. You can't beat it. It is the best event to go to in the year because everyone is on their game and there. And the atmosphere from backstage shows on stage that they love. But my jaw dropped the first year I did it because it was at the Paris. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting backstage. And it made me think of being at being at Allstate for choir or at like a wrestling camp or something where everyone's together. But I'm sitting
You
really want to wrestle, don't you?
Sitting in a hallway and it's like you have a couple dancers from Cirque and Clint Holmes and all of these people sitting on the floor in the hallway hanging out waiting for their turn.
Yeah. Right,
There is no ego. There is no, you could be in your first show or having been headlining for 20 years and there is absolutely nothing but appreciation, respect, and love. And it's one of the only times that atmosphere is absolutely captured.
Mm-hmm. And the first year I did it was at the Smith Center. Right. And it was, I think it was just built too. And it was.
Oh, that was what you guys did in the Heights?
That was, in the Heights. I'm at the Smith Center. I've been a singer my entire life and I'm rapping in the Smith Center, which is fine. I love, I like that too. But it was just funny. It was just funny because the Smith Center is this gorgeous theater that's just open music hall. And like I'm like,
sing,
rapping.
But they want me to rap.
It's fine. Yeah. But I mean, even just that event of doing that and the people that you meet, like my good friend now Nicholas Foote was the guy who was choreographing that and like I didn't know him before that and just it's such a great thing to get together and meet those people too. So
you have a future in Hamilton since they rap a lot. I didn't know that much about the show. I'm one of those people.
Same
it's
writer.
Hamiltonless.
Man,
I don't know
last night
they did too. But I honestly, you know, I had a friend text me and say, hey, can you help me get tickets to Hamilton? I'm like, sure, what is that? I didn't know. I didn't know how hard it was until I texted my friend. They're like, do you know how much those are going for? I'm like, no. What show? What's it about? I didn't know. I didn't know all about it. And obviously, that's been changed.
I think that's the only show I even know that's on Broadway right now. I've been stuck in 80s rock for like the last 2 years. Mm-hmm, so I'm so Broadway.
You know, I would say any when we were watching the Tonys last night, any other show that was nominated for Best Musical, Waitress, you know, right. Sarah Bareilles, right. you know, I'm like, they're not going to, I mean, you know, those are going to be not in the dust.
It's just, that's what you say. It's Hamilton. Nice to be nominated.
That's right. Yeah. Hamilton, Hamilton,
people
Hamilton.
Bought full season. For people bought full season subscriptions to the Smith Center just so that they could renew
so they can go
to be
Hamilton.
Able to get tickets.
It's coming. It's coming.
They're
to the
paying
Smith
for
Center.
Two full years just to go to one show. And that's how in demand that
we
is.
We applaud this. It doesn't mean my level of not knowing is should right. not be.
No, we need. We need this.
Account.
We need people to absolutely. 2 years in advance want to go see a show. Like,
absolutely,
I'm down with that.
We
where's Christoph?
Christoph in the live chat.
Yeah. I know. I probably annoyed the heck out of him all the time.
I'm hoping that Christoph shares lots of good stuff.
No stories.
I love the live chat today. This is
right?
fun.
No stories.
Keep him coming. Keep him coming. So one of the other things that we're having Andy on talking about is, you know, we've roped you into a few set list shows we've done for House Seats.
Roped? I mean, yes.
Well,
not
roped.
So, oh, jeez.
Wrestled you into, obviously.
More wrestling.
Yeah, there's more of that. We're starting out with wrestling at the Van Halen show. Starting out with that
We
first.
Do Jell-O wrestling.
You should.
Oh, no. Oh, I just see Brooklyn Bowl going, what are you doing? So we're doing Van Halen in July, yes. July 9th.
8th. 3rd.
3rd. Yes, it's the day before.
Oh, geez.
I know, it moved.
It's the 3rd.
July
yeah, the 3rd.
So the day
fireworks,
before.
The fireworks come
the
a day
fireworks
early.
Are coming early at the Brooklyn Bowl. And
oh, Van
Halen's.
I like that.
Van Halen's and 1984. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of things happening in the show.
And our new series, The Hit List.
The Hit List, which
is the greatest hits of an artist.
Greatest hits.
Oh, good. I thought
we're
it was
just
like
changing.
Mafia things going
on. No, no, none of that.
No.
But then, you know, but you were in our Slippery When Wet last year.
Yes, I was.
And you're going to be in our reprise of that at the House of Blues on June 23rd.
Which is going to be amazing.
It's awesome.
I believe. Yes.
There's going to be a lot of people at the show.
Good.
Just so you know, we're going to pack the House of Blues like there's no
yes.
tomorrow.
Everybody watching right now, send Scott a message because we will give you tickets,
we'll give you tickets.
To our show at the House of Blues.
I love my sidekick over here, Andy. Give away the tickets.
I'm making sure that that's
give them away. Give them
but
away.
No, that was Paul was it's actually a huge selling point.
He was.
In the meeting because
oh,
I was
stop.
I was describing. It was one of my favorite memories from our first season. As I went back to the green room. To grab something and came out and Paul was singing Living on a Prayer and the song was just starting when I ran back.
Yeah.
And by the time I came out, he's like off the stage standing on the barricade over the audience, just screaming the song and the audience is jumping. It was one of those things where you just went out of entertainment mode and into you're sitting there is rock star status mode where I'm like, this is the coolest thing
absolutely.
We're going to be doing this
don't,
year.
Don't absolutely. Put a rock song in my hands and tell me not to do nothing with it.
They're lucky they had a barricade. There
right?
would have been a lot of throwing
you're lucky
cans
they
at
had
you.
A barricade.
We might have
insane.
To stage jump.
I know.
Oh, House please. If I'm, it's going to happen. Now
stage
dive?
Oh.
You know, they when
oh,
when Andy first started talking about set lists and bringing up Bon Jovi, I was like, I don't really know that any that was one of the best shows of
it
last
fun.
Year because it was so the energy was so high and everybody was so excited and to bring that back to House of Blues is gonna just it's gonna blow the roof off.
It's
there.
Gonna be great, yeah.
It's gonna be so, and of course the band is great.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about you,
yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Paul.
Yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Paul Johnson. The, yes. I have to digress into how I know Paul and how we first became acquainted. So Paul used to come to DW. And back in the day when we had sort of quiet brunches, you know, there wasn't a long line out the door. We had a little sofa in the waiting area. Now that's moved around. Paul used to come and play acoustic guitar and sit on the couch.
Just
he'd
noodle.
Sing, he'd play the guitar. You know, that's when we could have some live music and chill. And you know, people would come in like, oh, this is a great brunch. And we had a lot of people from the Strip come, you know, a lot of Phantom of the Opera cast and Jersey Boys cast and whatnot. And it was always a party.
It
I mean, it is now too. It's a
no.
It's a
now
huge
it's
party.
Like a now it's like a
it's like,
giant.
That's a
party.
Rave.
Giant party.
It's a rave. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll happen one day.
Well, it's funny because you because now I feel like you were just like, yeah, we're gonna need the couch.
That's what I told him. I said, unfortunately, he lost his paying singing gig at DW. Did we pay you with food or we actually pay you?
I think we actually paid you.
I think we actually paid
and
you.
And I think you actually.
I gave
me
you food
as
though
well.
Too. Right. There you go.
Yes, sir.
We pay our musicians.
I got paid in like jerk chicken waffles.
That's right.
Hey.
I know. Hey, and there's nothing wrong
that's
with that.
The best
no, that's
damn tasty
that.
Stuff. If you haven't checked out DW Bistro, 615 Southwark. I will give you a little caveat to that. There is news out there. We are closing after Labor Day and reopening at the Gramercy down the street.
Ooh, yeah.
More news to come on that. But so that's how we became acquainted.
Yes.
And at the time, you were in Rock of Ages.
No.
Not yet. Oh.
I was not
lead
yet.
Us on a life
I
of
was
Paul Johnson.
In, what and was I doing at that point? I was probably still vacation cover for Peep Show.
Okay. Yes.
And
yes, you were.
Yes, that's
right.
Correct.
Yeah, we were
and
talking Peep Show then. Yeah.
And
because you were with Holly Madison and
Holly Madison and Coco when she came in.
Yep.
And so I was vacation cover for that. Mm-hmm. I was probably just starting with my band Generation that I played with my friend Polita.
Okay.
And then somewhere in there, I was also doing Vegas the Show on the weekends, I believe, as well. So it was just one of those things where I had
the versatile acting,
random times to sit down on a couch and, and play some music while people ate waffles.
And it was so nice because it was just ever so subtle. I mean, now, you know, we have to turn up the music because people are so loud. We have DJs some Sundays, you know, we play the EDM. Yes, I guess it is a brunch rave.
Are you saying I have to become a DJ?
You might have to if you want to. I mean, you're so busy with him. He's very busy in Rock of Ages now.
I got it. DJ you got PJ.
This? You got this? DJ PJ.
I got it.
Okay. That's fine.
Wicked, wicked.
You know, we're doing 80s brunch there June 23rd. June 23rd? Is that a Sunday? June 26th.
Yes. 23rd is a Thursday.
And it's just 26th. Yeah. Yes. Whatever the Sunday. Yes, it's June 26th at DW Bistro is 80s brunch. Yeah. So we'll have a DJ for that.
Oh, that's perfect.
Wait, if you guys have an 80s brunch, I might have to show up for that.
You might need to show up with your guitar.
With my guitar.
Do them acoustic.
Bring my own couch. All right, how about fine. That?
Bring your own couch. You know what? The couch has moved and it's actually a more convenient place for you to probably play.
Okay. Maybe so, I will. Yeah. An 80s brunch, I might show up and play a couple
I think people were. You know what's funny? I have to remember this story because, you know, he'd occupy one corner of the couch. And I think when we were starting to get busy, I'm like, oh, go ahead, just sit next to the musician. And they were afraid.
Well, it's funny because
they're afraid to sit next to Paul, who's just sitting there on the couch, like, what is this guy doing?
Well, someone sits next to me, and then I'm just like, hey.
He's like, this guy has a guitar. Just I don't know if I should be freaked out.
Playing
or what.
Some music.
Yeah, yeah. Those were some good times, though. No, I mean,
no, that was great. It was one of my favorite like Sundays of just like, and I got to sit around and sing some songs and play some music. It was great.
I have to point this out. We have a buffet of colors of cocktails here right now.
Yes.
I'm drinking water.
I'm drinking Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. And you're having, what is that, a urine sample? I mean, I do not know what's happening over
this
there.
This would be
Andy,
Fireball.
Right? Oh, right.
Fireball.
So, okay, tell us how the audition process was for Rock of Ages and how you ended up in this wonderful show with Becca, Cody.
And, yes, and there are some, I mean, I love
and
our
And back
cast.
With Mark at the time.
And Mark was in there. And so every cast that's been in there, it's just been such wonderful casts. Yeah. And like, and what happened was I had literally just kind of like, was like, all right, I'll go.
Yeah,
and I was kind of because I was doing my band at the time, so it wasn't like I was like, oh, I need to find a job.
Right.
But it's Rock of Ages, of course, everybody's gonna audition for that. So I went, all right, I'll go, and I ended up bringing my guitar with me.
Yeah.
And for the audition, I played a Bon Jovi song and sang it with the guitar.
Yeah.
And most everybody had brought like you know, music or a CD or accompaniment or something like that, but I think I was one of the only people who actually might have brought an instrument and played, and then. I didn't hear anything for about a month or so, and then they called me in for a callback, and then I had to go in and dance and just sing again and read for everybody, and it just kind of they cast me in the role of Joey Primo, which is one of the tracks that's I wish I had a picture of it. That's the Stacey Jacks.
This was
me covering Stacey Jacks.
I love that outfit. Joey
Primo is like. Probably the hardest track in the show.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I will say Joey Primo.
It's a lot of work.
Joey Primo's one of the hardest tracks in the show, but it's a ton of fun. And so I did that and covered Stacey Jacks, Lonnie, Franz, and Drew, the lead character.
Yeah.
For about a year and just over a year and a half.
Okay.
And so that was a blast because I love jumping around. I love different characters. I love
And you were there when it was at Venetian.
It was at the Venetian, there, right? Yeah. And then when the show moved to the Rio at the beginning of this year, after the first couple months, Justin Morlitti, who was in there playing Drew, was done. He was going back to New York, and they ended up giving me the role of Drew.
Yeah.
And for the last 3 months, for the last 3 months, it's been so much fun.
Yeah.
I've been singing my guts out every night, which is fantastic. I mean, it's such a wonderful role and a wonderful show to be a part of that.
Yeah.
There's not been one day in these last 2 years that I've gone to work and said like, oh God, I just don't want to be here.
When we had Becca Cody on here a little while ago, she said the same thing. And it's like, you know, the interactiveness of the show and people singing along to the music with you. We've been before. We took his sisters. We took Jay's sisters there when it was at Venetian. And it's so fun because it's, even though I can't stand the one song, the Journey song, the Don't Stop.
I can't stand that song.
But you know what? I love it because everybody just, they relate, they sing along,
they do.
And they're in it. They're in it with you. They're not, it's not a separate moment. And obviously when Mark was there, you know, doing Lonnie, I mean, it's just, it's so fun.
Oh yeah.
The way you guys bring it all together. I mean, it's one of those shows that fourth wall drops, you're part of it. And people are like, they love to stand up. They love to be a part of the show.
Well, the fun part is most of the show is just, the only fourth wall they get is Lonnie was Mark's role, who is, Mitch Jarvis right now, who's the original guy, but he is the one who's interacting with the audience and he's the breaker of the fourth wall until there's a certain point in the show where it just, everybody is like, it's broken. Yeah. And like the audience knows that like you're part of it. And then everybody is just so, they come along with you for the ride. And that's one of my favorite parts of the show is that all of a sudden, like, it's not just a play anymore. It's a rock concert too.
Right.
Because everyone's singing along with you. So it's great. It's fantastic.
And the show is at the Rio now in the old Prince.
The old Crown Theater.
Sort of
show,
the Crown Theater 3121.
Oh, Prince.
And it plays 7 nights a week?
The show is seven nights a week.
You guys have just random nights off for yourselves.
I have 1 night off a week. Yeah. And the good thing is that we all have fantastic covers that cover our nights off. And they're all amazing. But yeah, it's... 6 nights a week is a lot for some rock music,
right?
But it's great.
And when you guys, so for the show itself, and this is one of the things I wanted to bring up, because as of last week, you know, there was the announcement of Jersey Boys' last day, September 18th, I believe, at the Paris, and it's moved a couple times to be where it's at. The lasting power of shows and the lasting power of Broadway type shows. I mean, this show, it pays homage to not just one. Not just one rocker of the 80s, but, you know, all.
Many, many, many.
Yeah.
And it's the perfect combination of like, oh my gosh, I remember that song. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I remember that song. Oh, yeah. I haven't heard that song in forever. And I think the good thing about like our show and even Jersey Boys, I mean, what, eight years?
I think so. It's been in the longest running Broadway shows in Vegas. We had Chicago here for a number of years. We had we had Phantom Hairspray here for a number of years, and Hairspray back in the day. It's nice to see that it doesn't, even in with an ending, it's still had an amazing lasting power.
And we need more of that. Like, even we need a little bit more of that. I mean, as much as we love all the entertainment in the city, there's just something about a show these days that I think is going to bring back so much more nostalgia and energy and just, you know, more a variety of entertainment. So we need more of that. Like I'm really happy to see that there are shows that are staying here.
We've talked about this in a number of shows when we've had guests on about the interactiveness of shows from, you know, Matt Goss and people who actually bring the audience into the journey with you. Mm-hmm. That helps a lot. Because I think, you know, there's been a time and place for the, you know, the large scale production shows. Mm-hmm. And now it has that feeling, even you guys, when you've moved from Venetian to the Rio, it's a smaller house, but it's more set up almost in a sense that you're surrounding the people within the show rather than it's so, you know, like a theater aspect.
It almost reminds me of, if I can compare this. It almost reminds me of just old school Vegas Rat Packy kind of thing because people would come to sit in a lounge and watch these guys and they would banter and they would talk and you'd be like, oh, that's a real person. That's great. And I love the aspect of Cirque and I love the aspect of all that kind of spectacular show. But there is something to be said for something where you can relate to that intimacy of there's a person right there and like, oh my gosh, now I even got to say something to him or like, not that I'm having everybody yell at me on stage.
Right.
But just that, you know, that the feeling and the emotion is right there and you can be a part of that and sing if you want, sing along if you want to, which is great.
It brings it away from always having to, because I think one of the things that when we always see shows, because all of us get a chance to see shows here in town, it takes it to a level where we don't have to compare the show because it's always a spectacle. What's the next big spectacle? Yeah. When you're in a show that's about the talent on stage, the raw talent, which is why Andy's brought, you know, Setlist to life and bringing a lot of you together, is just that raw talent.
Yep.
Whether you're singing Bon Jovi, whether you're singing Alanis Morissette, whether you're singing Amy Winehouse, it's that element, or whether it's Golden Rainbow, you're all together singing and the talent is what's represented rather than the theatrics of something.
Absolutely.
Now that there's not a place for all that, it's amazing to go to things like that, which rounds us out towards the end of our show.
Yes.
This week. Oh, it even gave me a timer.
Ooh.
Hello. I got beeped.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this weekend, barring my health, I should be able to go do this. we have a photo which reminds us every day to love and care for each other. That is the message that the Electric Daisy Carnival shares. I will be out there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, out there, you know, raving my little tail off, Literally, probably a tail. I'll probably
wear a
donut,
tail. With a little donut.
A donut.
To sit on.
I think I'm gonna have everybody wheel me around.
But it's gonna
there,
be a neon donut.
It's a neon. Yeah, it'll light up. I do have a hat that lights up. I have several things that light up. So I think next week we'll be talking a little bit about that. But Paul, it was a pleasure having you on
Thank you.
Andy, always a pleasure talking house seat stuff. Go on the website and check out more things. And hey, love one another.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.